Good morning. I have been in the space many times, but never been in worship with you all. Being part of the Synod staff, I have gotten to plan events here that you have not attended. So that's an interesting thing to be on this side of everything. And when Pastor CJ asked me to preach today, I said yes without question. When she said that this would be a stewardship message kicking off your fall campaign, I was completely on board. I have served on the Synod Stewardship and Mission Support Table for many years and feel I have something to bring to the conversation. But then I was sent the text of the day. A text filled with violence and condemnation, and I had to ask myself, how does this become a stewardship message? So I sat in the text for several days, did some research, and tried to look at it in a new way. So let's start at the beginning. A king is excited to throw a wedding celebration for his son. Who wouldn't be, right? This is a joyous occasion. He has spared no expense and has invited the most important people, only to realize that no one has sent in their RSVP for the event. So he sends his servants out to find out if the people are going to attend. And they all decline. He's disappointed. We all would be. We've just planned this whole event. Nobody is coming. So this man sends out another invitation. He is a man of power. All these people are hierarchically below him. He expected people to want to be part of this event, and instead, they kill the servants that are sent to them. So not only is he now disappointed, he's enraged. And he decides to destroy the town, to kill the people that wouldn't come, and who had killed their servants. But he still has this problem of this amazing event that he had put together, he invested in, and he needs people to attend. So he sends his servants out to find anyone who is available, good, bad, doesn't matter, people without means. And when he looks around at who comes, he realizes someone is not in the appropriate wedding clothes. He becomes angry, binds them, and sends them out. Now, we are supposed to connect this king to our God in this scenario, and we are the wedding guests. But how do we do this when it seems like an unwelcome welcome? This is where some history is helpful. A king throwing this event would not just invite people to attend, but we would have provided all of the clothing that was needed. Those robes were provided to the invitees. The man who chose to do so, forsaking this gift that had been provided to him. The robes are an equalizer, removing social class and putting all guests at the table at the same level. Biblically, white robes were also seen as a mark of baptism. So choosing not to wear the gifted robe could be construed as God inviting us, and yet we shirk our baptismal promises as we come to the banquet. We try to attend while keeping our own independence. We forget the meaning of these robes and live our lives without the outward appearance of the covenant that we've made. It isn't that just by wearing these garments you are showing acceptance of the gift. You are also making a public proclamation through your appearance to all you encounter. It is showing that you have been invited, you've accepted, and you are aligning yourself with the host. Is the king's response to the action appropriate? Clearly not. This is not the way that we would like to see things happen. This brutal reaction seems much more in alignment with the Old Testament God than the post-resurrection New Testament God that we stake our faith and grace on. So how does this become a stewardship message? Like the king, God is trying to fill the table. However, unlike the king, there isn't a hierarchy to God's invite list. There isn't a first tier of guests that are invited, and then depending on whether they say yes or no, the second wave can be invited. God invites us all. God does not just want to fill the table, but he wants to add more chairs. And not only does God invite us all, God invites us over and over again to the table. God invites us every day to be renewed in spirit through grace, regardless on our previous responses. God doesn't just provide the invite, but God also provides every tool and gift we need, not just to attend, but to grow and flourish through attending. God wants to give us and for us to receive. In response to this generous invitation, God wants us to accept the gift and make a commitment to what gift brings into our lives. God wants us to RSVP to our lives of faith. But God doesn't want that at face value. He doesn't want a dismissive yes. God wants our yes through our yes to show up, to bring the gifts, the robes that we've been given, and to then offer that to others at the table. In this scenario, we are not just the wedding guests. We are also the servants. We are being sent out, inviting and providing those robes to more and more people to bring more people to the table. God has laid out this beautiful banquet before us and has considered every minute detail. It is up to us to say yes and dress in the gifts of grace that both level the hierarchy and show our outward commitment. I'm an avid reader, and I'm currently reading Olga Dies Dreaming. In the novel, Olga is a wedding planner for extremely wealthy patrons. In the first scene, she is working with an overly attentive mother who insists on the finest quality of all things, napkins. This becomes the most important part of the wedding reception for her. The napkins need to be ones made of the highest quality fabric, able to absorb any spills that keep them from marring the clothes or the carpets in the hall. A material that is so fine that no lint will come off on people's clothing. The stitching needs to be hand done to show the craftsmanship put into each item. And there need to be double the number of napkins for each guest, just in case they become soiled. I imagine this king from the parable as the mother in the story. Someone who is so concerned about having the best quality elements for the guests that every detail is painstakingly observed and provided for abundantly. Details that most guests will never even notice. But they are there to ensure the enjoyment at the table isn't deterred by any possible complications. Doesn't that sound like the God that we believe in? The God who Isaiah promised would make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-aged wines, of rich foods filled with marrow, of well-aged wine strained clear. They even strained the wine. A God anticipating our every need in advance and providing abundantly and lavishly even before we can anticipate that need. And what does God ask for in return? For us to accept the invitation, to make a commitment by RSVPing, and then show up with the gifts that we have been provided. So now how does that translate into stewardship at faith? God has provided you this congregation and invited you to be an active part in it, to worship and to join in fellowship. You have been provided gifts of time, talent, and treasure as part of that life and invitation. Your choice to support the ministries of this congregation is your RSVP. It is a commitment between you and God on how you are choosing to use the gifts that have already been bestowed. This goes beyond the congregation, though. Last week, the Synod sent out information on mission support to all the congregations of the Synod. In 2022, Faith generously gave $22,000 in mission support to the Synod. On behalf of the Synod, thank you. Thank you. Your pledge helps provide for the work of the Synod, the 72 congregations serving this community alongside you. Your contribution equips and develops healthy leaders, empowers and nourishes vibrant ministries, and encourages and models faithful accompaniment across the synod. In the past year, your congregation has benefited from the work of the call process and participating in Leadership Academy offerings. The synod continues to create opportunities for growth in racial equity through Sacred Ground, fellowship through events like this summer's block party, and education like the Leadership Summit that we are holding next Saturday at Redeemer in McLean. You're all invited. I will gladly extend this RSVP as long as possible to make sure that you all can come. The Synod is listening to the voices from the pews to try to find out what is most of value to you and to your community. Nobody knows that better than you. So we are currently expanding your reach by providing partnership and stewardship grants to give you the opportunity to make your own plans to reach out in love with the financial backing of the Synod. The impact doesn't end there. The Synod also makes a commitment to the wider church and responds financially to the ELCA to work throughout the world opening the table by providing ministries. The financial pledge to faith impacts the Synod, the churchwide ELCA, and the global community. Your commitment helps extend the invitation and provide robes to people throughout the world. God is also providing us opportunities to personally choose how we are going to respond to invitations to change in our own lives and our time and talent commitments. When I joined the Synod staff 8.5 years ago, I realized that God was providing me an opportunity to discover my calling, something I had been praying for over years. However, in doing so, I needed to make the most out of this invitation. I needed to not just say yes to the position, but also yes to every opportunity to learn and grow through this vocation. I needed to look at the further invitations and say yes to those so they could help me to discover my gifts. And in response to the invitation, I needed to commit to bringing my whole self. I have been part of the Intentional Impact, Sacred Ground, Stewardship and Mission Support Table, Racial Equity Team, led the Domestic Hunger Grant Review Team, served on the board of LSS-MCA, organized 9 Synod assemblies, countless workshops, trainings, and academies. I have traveled to Puerto Rico 3 times to be in accompaniment with the rostered ministers there who have metaphorically been beaten by the storms that have ravaged their communities. I also have taken the opportunity to use the gifts that God has given me and been developing in me to create an admin network to link all the full-time, part-time, and volunteer administrative workers from throughout our synod, to be able to combine their resources to more fully respond to God's invitation and the gifts they've been given to us. And beyond that, my family and I choose every year to make financial commitments not just to our congregation, but also to the synod and specific Lutheran ministries directly. My family has chosen to support the synod and our congregation in our time, talent, and treasure. We not only RSVP each year anew, but also come dressed in the gifts that we have been provided, ready to witness and to extend the invitation wider and wider to others. This is what God is asking of us. So I have 2 questions for you right now. First of all, what invitations have you received that you have not RSVP'd to? What is coming up in your life that you are listening to and not ready yet to commit? Is it because you're scared of the yes or you're scared of the no? How is God talking to you through that RSVP and that invitation? And then 4, the invitations that you have responded to, have you done it with your whole self? Now, how are those answers rooted and reaching out in love? In this stewardship season, you are going to be asked to RSVP through your commitment card. While this seems like an RSVP to the congregation, it is actually an RSVP to participate fully in God's kingdom here on earth with your whole self. An invitation that you are encouraged to bring to as many plus ones with you as you possibly desire. I promise that God will continue to supply more robes and more seats at the table. As I close, remember that God has provided you all that you need and more. God has filled your closet and made your cup runneth over. I urge you to prayerfully consider what it means to RSVP in consideration of all the abundant gifts that you have been given. Amen.